Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Michael Halpern, here with Gray Albright. I thought we should start off the show by, you know, thanking you guys who gave us the 5-star reviews last week, said good things, and I've kind of found funny in those reviews and also other comments. A lot of people seem to be giving me credit for, like, reining you in, they say, or really? Keeping you in line, which I don't feel that, like I deserve that.
I don't know if that's a good thing, though. Wait. Hold on a second. Now I'm feeling a little self-conscious.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up. I feel like I'm not doing anything, though. If they notice a change with you, it's all you.
On the iTunes, people gave us good reviews?
Yeah, 5 stars when we asked for it last week.
Oh, nice. People got to do that shit again. Do anyone who hasn't reviewed this thing, just like for 2 seconds. I mean, literally, it takes 2 seconds. Go and review the podcast. It's the least you can do.
You're never satisfied.
It's like, really.
You're never satisfied.
No, I'm not. I'm like my mother. I'm never satisfied. No, seriously, it's like, what are we gonna do for you, man? Like, how much can we help you? You can't help us. 2 seconds, go and review the podcast, give us 5 stars, give us a good review. It takes like nothing. It's like nothing. This is like the least you could do. You.
Well, I guess we're good cop, bad cop.
You, the royal you, not you, help.
I'm appreciative of the good reviews. I'll be the good cop. I love them. You know, a bunch of them say they miss JB, but I'm doing a hell of a job. So I was kind of, do you think JB listens to the podcast still?
No way.
No way.
No.
Zero chance.
No, zero. Zero.
I don't know about that.
He checked out. Nah, I don't think he listens.
You don't think he comes to the site anymore?
Yeah, no, I doubt it. I mean, maybe, but it's like, what are you gaining by? I mean, he's sort of like quit fantasy more or less. So, I mean, I don't know.
He still gets Twitter questions. I still see him. He's in the mix on Twitter.
Oh, is he? I don't know. Yeah. He blocked me on Twitter, so I don't know.
Did he really? Oh, wow. Oh, all right.
So I don't know. I don't even know why. I mean, you know, it's like pulling a Band-Aid off. I guess you just got to go. You just got to yank it. And you just, like, you can't even see the name Razzball.
Well, I was going to ask you if you missed JB at all, but after he blocked you, maybe not.
No, JB's a good guy. I have no issue with him. But... You know, whatever. That's the way the bubble bounces or something. I don't know. Bubble bursts. I don't know. Whatever the idiom or adage or cliche is, that's that. We had Christmas this Sunday in our household.
Really?
Yeah. I'll explain. So you know, I got the dog Ted, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So, well, he's a rescue. So he probably, more than likely, had a name before we got him. So whenever I have like a free time, I sit and try and figure out what his name really is, because right. he doesn't answer to Ted. So I'm like, Fred, Bill, Kevin, something. You know, I'm like, I just shout out names and see if he responds. So anyway. The other day, I stubbed my toe, and I was like, Jesus Christ, and guess who showed up?
Ted.
Ted showed up!
Ted.
I know! So I'm like, well, he was a Mexican street dog before we had him, so there's... like a legitimate possibility that his name was Jesus.
Right.
So anyway, this Sunday was his birthday. So we were like, hey, Merry Christmas.
Perfect. How did you just got him at a shelter? I know you said you rested. Was he like his next?
Jesus turned six on Sunday.
Nice. Does he get any bigger, or is this as big as he gets?
Dogs stop growing after like 3 months, I think.
Yeah, I don't know dogs. I was never like a dog family. My parents
poisoned
me.
Oh, really? I didn't know you guys were evil. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. That's for some reason, if you don't like, I don't dislike dogs. Yeah. I just don't like having like an animal. I don't know. I feel like animals should roam free. I'm all about freedom, you know? Roam free.
Roam free. You're just like, I got to pop into this Jamba Juice real fast. Oh, excuse me, wolf. I didn't see you standing in the doorway. If I could pardon me, polar bear.
It's easier in theory than principle. It's easier if I don't have to worry about it. I just say, yeah, let them all roam free. Let them.
I want to run into this lid store to get a hat. Oh, excuse me, polar bear. Let me squeeze by you for a second.
Polar bears are free. Polar bears are free. They're in their own habitat. They're not locking up, except for zoos and stuff. Which
roam free, polar bears.
I think I just saw a bear break into someone's house and like play the piano or something. It's stupid. Intermittent.
Roam free, kangaroo. Roam, please. Go.
That's Australia, and they do roam free in Australia. I'm pretty sure Australia does let them roam free.
Oh man, I want to go to the mall with Halp and have him just expect animals there.
I think that's a utopia in some people's mind. That's Adam and Eve. We're talking the Garden of Eden right there. Right? You have a dog named Jesus. Everyone's roaming free.
Help, I want to go to the mall. Okay, let me put on my fig leaf. And then we can go see some animals roaming free. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you, Hal? Come on.
Get back to humans. You ready for humans and baseball?
Yeah. What were we going to say? You were saying something. All right, whatever. Let's get back to baseball.
No, I was just trying to get your feelings on JB. I was bringing JB back into the mix. I was curious.
No, JB's he's all good with me, but I don't know. I mean, I just assumed he stopped doing. He said he was taking a break from fantasy. I don't know, like his family stuff. I have no idea. You should ask him on Twitter or email.
Because you can't ask him anymore.
I can't. He's blocked me.
See, that's the kind of information I wanted. Now I'm happy I brought him up. That's what I was looking for. JB blocked Ray's ass. Now we can all go home happy.
It's all good with me. I just, just don't block me, man.
I thought maybe you might have some missed feelings, but after I heard that, I knew it was
definitely. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, let's block Ray. That does feel good. All right, let's talk baseball.
All right, baseball. I set up a middle infield episode. I was, because there was a bunch of middle infielders are kind of interesting to me right off the bat. Kind of surprised me. I knew he was hitting well. The past like 10 games or so, he's been dominating. Elvis Andrews, he's the top-ranked shortstop right now. Second middle infielder, only behind Altuve. His triple slash is .305, .350, .475, 7 homers and 14 steals. And I kind of wanted to bring him up with Starlin Castro too, because both of these guys were highly touted prospects. They were kind of seen as mild disappointments early in their career. They're in their late 20s. Castro's killing it too. We'll get into him a little later. But I mean, Andrews, do you think it's a real breakout that he's like a power speed guy with a good average? I mean, is this the real deal?
Wow. I was just looking at the ESPN. I mean, not ESPN. I'm confusing Razzball for ESPN.
Oh, man.
I was just looking at the Razzball player rater, and yeah, Elvis Andrews is at top. He's a top shortstop.
Right? That surprised me too when I was looking. I thought,
I thought maybe you had I was double checking you, Hal. I'm sorry.
Good. No, good. I'm happy because I looked at it too. I was like, am I the only one who was taken aback by it?
Yeah. Wow. I was taken so aback that I second guessed my best mate.
Would you have double checked JB?
No, I wouldn't have. Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Now Hal's feelings are hurt. Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. So let's look at Andrews then. So, it looks like he's added a leg kick this year. So I guess that's added a bit more power. He's already got 7 homers, like you said. I guess you could put him down for like 15 homers on the year, conservatively. And then you throw in his 30 steals and 15-30, you know, that's like kind of butter. I mean, that's good. You know, that's especially if it comes with the 300 average. And for the last 2 years, last year he hit 300. This year he's hitting 300. So 15-30, 300, that's solid. I mean, maybe he won't be the top-ranked shortstop, but he's not going to be too much below, like, the fifth-ranked shortstop with those kind of numbers.
So you're in.
Yeah, let's get in. Let's go. Yeah, I'm in.
Well, it could be a little late to get in, but you're staying. It could be late. We might be late, but
it's a little late to get in. It looks like, you know, like nothing's really jumping out as being obscenely lucky or odd. I mean, his homer per fly ball is up to, it's at 12%, but 12%. With the new leg kick and his fly balls are at about 30%. So we're not talking about a guy who's suddenly a 20% homer per fly ball guy. I mean, he's gotten better with the driving the ball. So that's good. His hard hit percentage is up. Nothing is looking like nothing's really standing out to me. Like, oh yeah, this is definitely a lucky sort of, 2 months and he's going to come back to earth. I don't know. He kind of looks pretty good. I would probably look at him as like a top 7, maybe the 7th best shortstop. Like, I wouldn't consider him the best shortstop, even if he is sitting at the top of the heap right now. I'd probably, I'd put a bunch of guys over him, guys that will likely talk about later, but yeah.
Well, Velar? How about like a guy like Velar? He's still hitting 210, but the power speed's still solid. Are you willing to say Andrews rest of the season over VR at this point?
VR. I would say no, VR's got other issues. VR, all right, so we'll go into VR a little bit. So he's so right now, it looks like his power has come down as probably predicted by just about everyone. Yeah, right. So no one was expecting the big power number. He had 19 homers last year. VR is probably closer to a 12-homer guy.
Low?
Yeah, right now he's on pace for about 10. 15, 14.
Really? He doesn't have like 5 in about 53 games, something like that?
It's like, is it? Yeah, okay. All right, Mr. Pro Raider. It's time for the Pro Raider. It's time for the Pro Raider. Yeah, I would say probably 12. I'd give him 12 to be
that's life.
Fair.
Okay.
Okay, so 15 at the most. I mean, he's not a power guy either, either way, so you're not really going for him for power. If he were to steal 60 bases like he did last year and still hit, 10 to 12 homers, it really wouldn't matter if he had 10 homers or 15 homers if you got the 60 steals. That's really – I mean, that's why you have him for the 60 steals. But with that said, 60 steals was, insanely high last year.
For
anyone.
Other than Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, for sure. Even for Billy Hamilton, it's high, right?
True.
Like, it's like that's like you take 60 steals from Billy Hamilton and you're like, if I can guarantee, I'll take that. I'll if I put that as my over under, I'd be more than happy with 60 and walk away with it. But Vayar is probably closer to a 35 steal guy. So, you know, 10 homers and 35 steals is not terrible, but now he's been moved to the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, he's hitting his, seventh
his
tonight.
His strikeouts are up. His walks are down. Now, the what I see pretty much with Vayar is a guy who's getting unlucky, going outside the zone and swinging at more balls, and which is then, you know, having a it's having an effect that it's, you know, it's affecting his entire game. It's like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of, like, you know, a guy who's struggling and then he forces the issue and ends up struggling even more.
Pressing is the word you're looking for, I think.
look at help with the one word.
That's what they say. I keep you tight. I keep you alive.
Damn, all these iTunes reviews are going to your head. Maybe we should stop people from reviewing the show. Because obviously it's going directly to your big head on.
Hey, I was the one who said I didn't think I was keeping you alive. I thought whatever you were doing was on your own. I'll take the credit.
We're about 20 minutes away from you blocking me on Twitter and me doing a podcast with Ralph next.
Don't try to turn this around. Don't turn this around on me. I'm coming to you.
Wow. I was thinking about the Land O'Lakes butter lady recently. So I Googled her, and they have this thing called the Land O'Lakes butter trick, which is like that there's a way to change the box so it looks like she's flashing people.
Brilliant.
I know. So I started thinking, what do you prefer, Sun-Made Raisin Lady or Land O'Lakes butter lady?
Probably the Land O'Lakes butter lady, I think. Doesn't she have, like, she's got, like, an angelic feature about her, right? So, or am I wrong about that?
So sexy. Yeah. Land O'Lakes butter lady all day.
Well, how about Aunt Jemima?
Aunt Jemima, I don't know. I'd say Aunt Jemima probably top five food mascot.
Okay, there you go.
Sun-Made Raisin, Land O'Lakes butter.
Who else is in the mix?
Philly Fanatic.
Philly Fanatic. How about Mrs. Met?
No. Let's see. Who else would be in the mix? With Sun-Made Raisin, Land O'Lakes butter. The green M&M. Oh my God. I almost forgot. Number one, Chiquita Banana. Oh my goodness. Right? Oh my God. Or Wendy's, or is she too young? Okay. Well, anyway, moving on. So I would say Vayar is below Andrews. that was the longest way to say Andrews is above Vayar, but yeah.
No, it was good. No, I think there was good analysis in there. I really do. I think there was good analysis there. How about Starlin Castro, who I brought up before? Obviously second base right now.
I got something on Starlin. Yeah. So I was listening to you and Ralph on the Prospect podcast, which is it's a great podcast, by the way. If people can only review one podcast, I want them to review ours, me and you. But if they can review two, I would review that one too.
I really thought you were gonna say if they can review one, review the Prospect. I was about to get all bunch of you. You just pulled the rug right out. I was like,
no. I said they should have time for two, and if they okay. All right. So I was listening, and you guys were talking about Glybar?
Yeah, Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres, okay. So I was like, let me look into this Gleyber guy, because people are starting to talk about him in the comments. He's probably due up for the Yankees at some point. And, you know, he looked exactly like Starlin Castro. That's what, like, I was watching video of him. I'm like, damn, he really looks like... He looks like a young Castro.
He does. And he doesn't have crazy huge power or crazy huge speed. They were both very hype. It's possible he has a Castro-like career. I think the hope is he's a little more polished than Castro, I think, ever was. That's kind of a thing with Gleyber, that he has he's like way advanced for his age. He's way more mature for his age. Castro was a bit immature, I believe, or at least it manifested itself a little later in his career, at least.
Right. Well, I mean, he did come up at what, like 22, I think, Castro? Castro was with the Cubs. And this is
very early.
Yeah, it wasn't. And then I was 20, like looking, 20, I was looking deeper. Yeah, he was like 20, 21 when he came up. I was looking, and then I was like, oh man. It wasn't just because of the Cubs Yankees connection either, which is also there though for Gleyber and Castro. I mean, they're both, you know, they both were Cubs. They're Yankees now.
And Gleyber might move off shortstop too. He might end up at third though.
And their minor league stats look real similar. At least they did to me. Like they,
I actually made that comparison earlier because I wasn't the highest guy on Gleyber for fantasy, just because not huge power, huge speed. I mean, he looks great this year, but I noticed the same thing as you. So yeah, I'm with you there a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So that's Castro. So, you know, focusing then a little bit more on Castro, I would say Castro is like he's like the best case scenario Cozart, which I mean is, you know, Cozart's having a damn fine 2 months. Obviously he's, you know, I think he's hitting like 350 something. And he's hitting for power, and Cozart's having a good 55 games, whatever it is at this point. But you know, when everything's said and done, I think if you were to get the year for Castro from Cozart, you'd be like, yeah, damn, I'll take a Castro type year from Cozart, which is, you know, 20 homers, 5 steals, 275 average. That's kind of best case scenario, I think, for Cozart. And that's the most likely scenario for Castro. So I like Castro. I've liked him for, you know, a couple of years now. Obviously it sucked in 2015 when he had a down year and he only hit 11 homers. And, you know, I mean, there was issues there, which is why he got shipped off to the Yankees. He had, you know, I guess he had attitude problems or whatever. I don't know about the off the field stuff, but Castro looks like a 20 homer, 5 steal guy with a 270 average, which is totally fine. I mean, that's for a shortstop. You're not kicking that out of bed, I don't think.
No. And I was going to bring up Cozart a little later, who's fifth ranked middle infielder this year. Also, you know, going around, Fangraphs has him as the second best player in baseball behind Trout, according to.
Oh, my, come on.
Including shortstop defense.
According to VORP or something? What is that?
Well, value up until this year, not looking at the future. Look at his slash line, and he plays a top 10 shortstop. I mean, that's a valuable player. Just looking at what he's done, you know what I mean?
I guess I don't get involved in defense. If his defense is super, I was gonna say that's a very technical way of saying it too. If his defense is super good,
that's Fangraphs speak right there.
Yeah, that's a knowledgeable baseball analysis right there.
So all right, so you think Castro and Cozart are about the same?
Yeah, for fantasy, yeah, they're about the same. I would say Castro is probably 20 to 23 homers, 270 average, and Cozart's more or less the same. And they both will chip in potentially 5 steals. So, yeah, I mean, they're not really that different. I think if anyone right now thinks Cozart is a breakout 350 hitter with a you know, headed for 25 to 30 homers, I would trade him in a second. I would look to trade Cozart if I thought I could get any sort of value for him, which I'm not 100% you can get value, depending, I guess. I mean, that's all dependent on what your league mates think of him. But, yeah, I like Cozart for deep leagues, but I don't think he's going to keep this up.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about a breakout app who is for real, SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to go to the Golden State Warriors Cavaliers game the other night. Flew out to L.A., caught that game, saw Durant do his thing, trying to take the crown from LeBron, greatest ever. Flew back with SeatGeek, an impossible ticket to get, but with SeatGeek, it was so easy. I was able to get into the game for a great price. SeatGeek's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek rates every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, you guys get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code RAZMLB, that's R-A-Z-Z-M-L-B, that's promo code RAZMLB, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. As always, if you haven't used SeatGeek and you're going to a game, obviously, really, you can't get better than getting $20 off. That's no joke. So buy from SeatGeek when you get seats. All right, let's continue on.
I got it. We should, at the end of the year, we should do a clip show of all the places you've gone with SeatGeek.
All the completely honest places I've traveled with SeatGeek.
I'm jumping on a $8,000 Learjet. I'm renting a Learjet. I'm going to the Cavs Warriors game. I'm getting a $20,000 seat, but I'm getting $20 off.
It's worth it. Well, with the money saved, I should really get like a rocket from Elon Musk, like a reusable rocket. I hear they're starting to reuse the rockets now. Prices are coming down on rockets.
I saw that documentary on Netflix. I like that. There's a. I just put in an eBay bid on a rocket.
Nice.
Hopefully I get it. We'll see. There's a buy it now for $1.7 billion, but I'm not doing that. I'm gonna see if I can win the auction
on the cheap. Is there like a Carfax for rockets? Any accidents in the past? Any blowups? You know, you gotta do your research.
Oh man! Okay. All right. That was a solid laugh, though. Thank you.
Excellent. That's what I'm here for. I earned my paycheck. All right.
Wait a minute, paycheck? You better block my shit on Twitter. What are you talking about?
All right. Daniel Murphy. I want to talk about Daniel Murphy because I know, you know, you kind of were low on Murphy a little bit. You didn't believe the average necessarily would remain that high, but he's doing it again. 340, 393, 573, 10 homers, third-ranked middle infielder. The people want to know, are you coming around now? Is he for real or are you still a skeptic?
Yeah. I don't like Murphy. I don't like guys in general who are homophobic, but no, I don't like guys who
have a real question. Will you shy away from a guy you don't want to root for necessarily, regardless of the reason? Cause sometimes I might. No, not at all.
No, I think, in real life, I think 98% of white baseball players are probably racist jackasses, but I
mean, that is brutal. That is just a brutal discrimination.
I mean, probably. I don't know. Bryce Harper seems like the biggest piece of shit, but I would own him. Yeah, no, I mean, whatever. I don't care.
All right, well, yeah, that's your answer. That's your answer. There you go.
Nah, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I don't even dislike Murphy. I mean, yeah, he seems like a total jackass, but that isn't why I would be against any guy who gave most of his value due to average. I don't trust batting average, which I don't think other people should trust it either. I mean, he's proven that, you know, this is 2 years now that he's hitting 340, so it's hard to totally argue with it, but I don't know, man. I just have – I got issue. Like, his career path is just really surprising to me. And I'll take the hit and say, okay, I messed up. I should have believed in him. I goofed. But, you know, if I mess up on one guy, like, you know, who has a career trajectory that is completely contrary to everything I've ever seen in my life, as far as baseball players go, then fine. I mean, then you take that hit. I'll take it over thinking, you know, or second guessing every single player. I mean, there's there's a long history of, you know, he's 32 years old. There's a long history of guys in their 30s not performing as well. His BABIP was 350 last year. It's 350 again this year. It's hard to argue with it, but prior it was, you know, he was like a 320 BABIP guy, which lowers the average. You know,
I see what you're saying. He's like not someone.
Yeah, there's just like so many, like, you know, possibilities for him to not perform, and he doesn't give, like with Villar, for instance. Like, if he's giving 35 steals, no matter what, like, Villar, assuming he isn't, like, you know, designated for assignment or something, like, assuming Villar stays on the field for 150 games, he's going to steal 35 to 40 bases. So that alone, you know you're getting that, no matter what. With Murphy, if something happens, like, to his one stat that he gives, average, then you're like shit out of luck with every, like, what else are you getting? You're getting maybe 20 homers and a 280 average. That sounds like shit. I mean,
yeah, you're saying like in a bad luck year, he'll give you nothing.
Yeah, exactly. He'll give you like, right. You know, he'll give you something you can get off of waivers, but it's obviously he's proven me wrong. You know, he's doing what he did last year once again. I don't know. It's still early, so we'll see. But yeah, as of right now, Murphy seems like he is a he's a solid 320 plus bet for average and probably 24 plus homers. So that's solid. I mean, that is. I stand corrected if that's what he ends up doing, but
I get what
I'm
you're
still,
saying. Though he's
I'm not, still not he, huge fan. Yeah,
yeah, he's not the type of player you go after. You're not going to go after the average guy. If you're going back, you're not going to do anything differently. Even though clearly he can't hit for. I mean, he was like the swing path guy. So like he made that swing path change, and then he's been like promoting that all over. Make the swing path change. Kind of Ryan Zimmerman talked to him in the offseason. All of a sudden, he's hitting better, even though Zimmerman didn't really give Murphy credit. So I don't know. I buy into that swing path stuff. I can see that. He did. Zimmerman was like, yeah, I talked to all the hitters. I'm not giving Murphy any fucking credit, but yeah.
That's funny. That is true. You're right. There's the swing path stuff. There's a lot of different narratives you can look at to say, right. Like, Murphy is exactly what he's doing now is what he was meant to do and what he's going to do. And don't look at the stuff that he did prior when he was in his, mid to late 20s. Don't look at that stuff because he's not that hitter anymore. But it's just, you know, it's hard for me to do that because there's just such a long history of, like, you know, when a hitter is a hitter, that's who they are. Not a ton of hitters change, which is also, you know, is why I probably was a little bit slower than most to come around on like an Edwin or a Batista and right. Maybe even a Donaldson because, you know, it's like once the guys establish themselves, I'm more like I dig in probably more than most and maybe to my detriment, but in the grand scheme of things, it's probably helped because with baseball, not a lot changes.
Pack of the baseball card. They'll hit you their career numbers. That's
yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's usually how it goes. It's like, guys fluctuate from day to day, but at the end of 162 games, they're usually exactly what you thought they were going to be.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the two types of players you do love that you were really aggressive on this year and are paying off. I mean, Carlos Correa and Trea Turner, I'm talking about. Turner, in the last 10 days, he's raised his average from 237 to 262. He's already got 16 steals, 5 homers. So he's coming around. He's the 6th-ranked middle infielder. Correa is having the breakout. Everyone kind of thought he was going to have after the rookie year. He had the down year last year. Some say it was because of an injury. But this year, 315, 390, 540, 11 homers. He's 4th-ranked middle infielder right now. So my first question for you on Correa is, are you expecting him to start running and him to become like a true 5-category beast? Or, I mean, why isn't he running, really?
I would say this might be a team philosophy at this point because, you know, Springer stopped running too.
Yeah, same with him. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, potentially, I don't know if I necessarily disagree either because so many knee injuries and
hand injuries.
Yeah. Right. It's dangerous to steal. I mean, if you can give your value in other ways, then why press it with stealing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that with Bryce Harper last week too, where basically if he's hitting well, he doesn't steal as much.
Right. Yeah.
So you're not expecting the steals to pop up. You're saying don't count on more steals basically.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, Houston's actually, I'm looking at it now. They are the best team in baseball, but they're actually middle of the pack for steals. Oh, okay. But that at this point, middle of the pack basically is every team because there's no one's really like, if you have one player steal 10 bases, you're suddenly at the middle of the pack. I mean, the Rockies only have 13 steals as a team. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I guess our steals, I guess, are down. I mean, I know they've been down. I know power's been up, steals been down.
The Mets are tied with the Rockies, too. The Mets only have 13 steals.
They're low, too. All right, well, if the Mets, that makes me question everything now, kind of.
Hey, I got a question on my, it's a middle infielder question. You know probably where I'm going to ask since we were just saying the Mets. What's going on with Rosario? When's he coming up?
No, I think he's pushing on the door. I think he's getting closer. I'd say he'll be up within the next, 5 or 6 weeks. Tough to give an exact time, but I think he's coming up. I think they're bringing him up. They're going to keep him down until September? It makes no sense. And he's one of the most talented prospects in baseball. Are you? I mean, what's your feel on that?
You think 5 to 6 weeks? I can't wait that long.
Oh, you think? I mean, you needed immediate. I mean, just I was just saying within the next 5 to 6 to widen my net of being correct. So anything within those.
Oh man, so you're the guy on Beat Shazam that's like saying name that tune for you old timers out there.
No. No, I'm the guy on Price is Right who goes 1 cent over the next to the last guy. That's me. I go 1 cent. When do you think he's going to be up, Greg? All right, I'll take one day above that. I'll take it.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I was hoping he'd come up sooner. I guess, I don't know. Where is he? Who's he bumping? Do we need an injury, or is he bumping someone from the everyday lineup with the Mets? You think Reyes goes to the bench? Who do you think is as durable? Who do you think goes to the bench?
Right now, I mean, Reyes is hitting under 200, and he's a terrible person. And, I mean, third base, I think it's going to be Reyes. I think it'll be Reyes. He's older already. He's still hitting under 200. He's not running. He's not really stealing that many bases. Yeah. I think it's time for the future. I would. That would be my move. What's Cabrera up to? I'm looking at Cabrera's stats right now.
Cabrera's been okay when he's been healthy. I was going to say probably a time split between Reyes and Asdrubal and Rosario plays, but that might be optimistic. I don't know. You know, the Mets may do a timeshare with all three, and they all play like – four or five times a week versus one of them playing every day.
I mean, how long do you go with Jose Reyes starting hitting under 200? Doesn't make much sense. Where's the upside? I don't really get it.
Reyes should be off the team. He should have been.
Right, yeah, he should be out of baseball almost. I mean,
or he should be a bench utility player for someone like the Astros, who they use him like once a week to give other guys breaks. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly. Reyes should not be a starting player on any team.
Yeah,
he hasn't been probably since 2015, he hasn't really been worth a starting player spot on any team.
He went on a good run this last year. Actually, he helped me win my dynasty league when Trevor Story ran out. He looked real good those last 2 months, so I was kind of buying in, but. Yeah, you know, that was just he was off from the beginning of the year, so he was probably really fresh. Everybody else was at the end of the year, so I kind of take that into account. But yeah, this year it looks weak.
That's what I never actually did any research into this, but I've always said that like I feel like vets and guys who are 10 plus years in the league, guys, I would say they're always better in like April, May before their legs sort of give out. But I don't have any evidence of that. As like an anecdote, it makes sense though.
Yeah, it's common sense. Yeah. Ellsbury always looks so good and so fresh. Like spring training, Ellsbury always is running around the bases, and then within a month or two he's hurt. He's got headaches now. Yeah. I mean, you get older, it happens.
Right, exactly. So anyway, back to Carlos Correa. I would say I'd put him down still for 7 steals, even though there's been no sign of him even attempting. I mean, he hasn't even been caught stealing. He hasn't even attempted a steal. So I'm sort of going out on a bit of a limb by even saying that he's going to start stealing. But I would say because he is fast, I mean, if you watch him, he has speed. So I would put him down for 5 to 7 steals this year just because he has speed, but that's just possibly from a hit, maybe a broken hit and run here and there, or, I don't know. I there's very little confidence in that 5 to 7 steals because he hasn't even attempted a steal at this point. And the Astros may have said, hey, you're 22 years old. We love that you can run, but we don't want you to run. Just hit some bombs, and we're happy with what you're doing with that. So this could have been a team-wide decision for Correa and Springer, another guy who's just not running anymore. True. I think.
Go for it.
No, go ahead. That was finished.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think about Turner versus Correa, like in a dynasty long-term? Who would you prefer?
I continue to go Turner, even though he's been a bit colder to start the year. But because of the steals, like I say often with steals, they don't go anywhere unless the guy just gets old or injured.
Right, 20s.
Yeah, I mean, Turner's 23 years old. He's going to steal at least 30 bases this year unless he gets injured. So, he could steal 40 plus bases. Who knows? Steals, you can't, if you can't get them, elsewhere, you got to get them somewhere. So Turner, 12 homers, 12 to 15 homers, 35 to 40 steals, 300 average. That puts him above Correa hitting 30 homers, 5 steals, and 275, 280. So, yeah. I go Turner barely above them, but I like both.
Yeah, they're neck and neck. That's why I brought it up. All right, fantasy draft time. My favorite DFS site by far, no joke. The contest is back this week. The Razzball only fantasy draft contest is back after the Memorial Day hiatus. Only $5 to join. It has been a ton of fun. Truss is in it. Crab Army members coming in it. Sky is in it. Victoria comes in. It really is a ton of fun. It's good competition. $5 is a pretty friendly wager once a week. So definitely join up for that. It's a GPP, which I believe that means guaranteed prize payout. So even if it doesn't fill up to 20, the prizes still get paid out. So you have better odds, but we're trying to get it to 20. Hook us up a little bit. Get in that tournament. Let's fill that up. That'll be really fun to fill up. We've been at about 15 out of 20. So let's try to beat that number. And of course, bigger, higher stakes tournament. They have fantasy draft has a $100,000 walk off July 7th. It's a $55 entry. First place gets you $10,000 there. 523rd or up gets you at least $90. So if you feel confident about your skills, you DFS experts, join that one, or get some practice on the Razzball fantasy draft contest first. Beat us lame guys, and beat us lame Razzball guys. And again, of course, the best thing about fantasy draft really is the lineup flexibility. You can choose 3 infielders, 3 outfielders. You don't have to go digging for second base, for shortstop, for third base. It's really the best way to get all your favorite players that you could root for. You don't have to take Daniel Murphy. if you don't want. He's a very high price second baseman. It's actually a decent play on Tuesday night against Brandon McCarthy. But yeah, so fantasy drafts where it at is, and it's the bots aren't in there yet. It's all the crazy pros aren't in there yet. And our contest especially is just, you know, a bunch of guys and girls having fun. I really highly recommend getting it. It's cool. And Gray, you should play one day. You ever going to play one day? If you got, I feel like if you said I'm in this week, I have a feeling it would fill up.
Yeah. No, people should fill up anyway. Here's the thing. You got to support our sponsors, because otherwise, you know, like they support us. So if you don't support our sponsors, then it's like you're taking food out of Halp's mouth, basically. Like Halp is hungry.
I appreciate the people who have played. We've hit highs. We've got up. I've beaten JB's high. JB only got 8 people in there. I'm up to 15. Oh. So I appreciate the people. So I appreciate the people who play. To be fair, JD only did it for 1 week, so I will throw that out there. But I got it up to 15, so yeah, let's try to fill it up. But I do appreciate the people who have played, and it is a lot of fun, so yeah, keep playing. All right.
Oh, definitely. Everyone should play. It's $5. Seriously, play Fantasy Draft. It's awesome.
And if with 15 people, it actually is the odds with the guaranteed prize payout, which Fantasy Draft is very awesome for doing, your odds are good. So it's not like your odds are better.
That's
than
true.
I don't want it to be 15.
Like, seriously, you could go and take that $5 and play somewhere else and play against sharks and just throw the money away. Or you play against like the Stu Nods at Razzball,
exactly.
And it's like you've got such good odds. Play Razzball's contest. You have such good odds. Wow.
Yeah, we want to fill it up. We want to get to 20. Really do. All right.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about Whit Merrifield. Everyone's been having a field day with his name. One of your 90%. Do you think he's an asshole because he's a white baseball player?
Probably. let's just assume they're all assholes.
Okay, so Whit Merrifield may be the whitest, biggest asshole of them all with the quarter thing, whatever. All joking aside, 19 game hit streak, sitting 307, 360, 496. Got power, he's got speed. I mean, how deep of a league would you be comfortable with him as your starting second baseman right now?
So this is funny in the not really funny type way. I have Merrifield in my NFBC league, which is a 15 team mixed league, and I haven't started him once this year. Oh my god, so dumb.
I mean, are you gonna start now?
Oh my god. It's hard. It's one of these weekly leagues where you put in guys and you're like, and you just hope that they come around. So I've had I had Orlando Arcia in for a while. He's not, I mean, the Brewers aren't even playing Arcia anymore. I don't know. Anyway, I'm playing Merrifield this week, so he's bound to like not be hot anymore. I like Merrifield as a hot potato, really. I don't trust him. I mean, you can look even at the way the Royals have played him, this year alone, they didn't even start him. He started in the minor leagues this year after, you know, hitting last year, after playing for the Royals last year, because there's just such little to him. Other than, like, he's an extreme Daniel Murphy scenario where, except for, you know, average, Merrifield has very little. I mean, he's a guy who's got, like, 5 to 10 homer power, which is, you know, that's garbage. If across the season, you're looking at a guy who's maybe homers once a month, you know, as of right now, he's been hot. So he's been worth playing, but that's just, you know, he has a hitting streak going on. So it's real. It's like sample size talking with Merrifield. He's not really very good in the big picture.
Non-believer. I was looking at his fantasy draft price. I was curious. They have him at $8,400, which is pretty high. Usually the top guys are like 10, 11, 12. So So I guess stay away. I would not pay that high price for him if in DFS.
I guess it depends on the matchup.
Yeah, but, good matchup. Yeah, just in general. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who the Royals have going next week. But I mean, in a good matchup, you pay almost top, not top dollar, but I don't. It sounds like you would stay away no matter what. I mean, you're not buying
Merrifield. No, like I said, I haven't even been starting him in my NFC league. I mean, I prefer to start, you know, a guy who could potentially give me two homers or a steal or two versus Merrifield, who, you know, as of right now, he has six homers and six steals, and he's hitting .307 in 39 games. Obviously, that's tremendous. And if I could go back in time, I would be starting him over, you know, Odor.
That's just ludicrous.
Yeah, but in reality, I'm not starting him over Odor because Odor could hit three homers in a week, and Merrifield may hit only three homers over the next 4 months. I mean, it's like Merrifield's just not very good. He's hitting for a good average right now because he has a hitting streak going on, but it doesn't mean. I mean, at one point, Benito Santiago had a 30-game hitting streak, so you know, it's like it's all relative.
All right. Well, you brought up the two homer guy. Ian Happ, he's cooled off. He had two bombs. He did two bombs on Sunday night. Would you rather have Happ or Merrifield rest of the season?
Rest of the season's tough for both of them because I don't know how much they're actually going to play. Like
Happ's bench tonight after his two homer game, even too.
Yeah, which that's kind of stupid, but you know, that's Madden playing matchups or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean Happ's got better upside. So I'd probably go Happ over Merrifield if I had the opportunity to change Happ out of my lineup if he were to be benched or just get cold. Merrifield is likely safer for rest of the season if it was like a limited move league or, you know, or you felt like you were going to go into a coma next week and you had to have someone for the rest of the season, then I would go with Merrifield. But
okay. So you're not loving either. You're not targeting either.
Yeah, no, I own both of them. Both of them, unfortunately.
How many leagues are you in?
I'm actually not in that many this year. I think I'm in like seven.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's conservative compared to, I don't know. I gave leagues to other people. I've given, you know, people come to me in February and March and like, hey, Gray, you want to be in this league? It's like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something. It's like, what? I don't know what that means.
And then I
forward that email to one of our writers. And that's
nice.
JB is probably in one of those leagues. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm no offense to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, is that a real league? Some people going to be listening to know that league.
Yeah, whatever. They'll get over it. I'm not dragging them. They know that their league sounds ridiculous. I mean, come on.
All right. I want to talk about Devin Travis for a second.
Oh, and by the way, if they don't know their league sounds ridiculous,
they do now.
Then they do now.
I guess someone else is getting blocked on Twitter. Or you're getting blocked by more people.
Yeah, all right. Block me, you son of a bitches. I don't care. Come for me. Come.
All right. Devin Travis, he's been recently one of your – you've been preaching bye on him. Bye, bye, bye. He got hit in the wrist last night, but the x-rays were negative. He should be all right. How good do you think Devin Travis is going to be the rest of the year? And, like what kind of player would you trade, target him, stuff like that?
I think – there's a good chance we were to look back at this in a month and say, you know, right now you're like Cozart this, Cozart that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Travis is more valuable than Cozart in a month's time. You know, like he's got power and speed, unlike someone like Cozart who really doesn't have any speed. So I like Travis a lot for that reason. I think Travis could surprise with you know, some power and some speed, and he's got to hit at the top of the lineup though. If he's hitting seventh or lower, it kind of kills his value. So as of right now, I mean, if people are listening, if people skipped, you know, all the nonsense we were talking for the first 45 minutes of this podcast, and they just picked it up right here. I would say Travis over Cozart, but I do like Travis. I think as of right now, I would say Travis is probably ownable in all leagues, but it depends on his injury, like you said. It depends on the x-rays on the wrists. I mean, it came back negative, so it sounds like he's fine, but wrists are tricky. You know, like in 3 days, Travis could go down because his wrist is still hurting him or something. Who knows? But I do like him. I wrote a sleeper on him in the preseason. I like Travis a lot. I think at some point, well, I don't know. Now he's 26 years old. It might be past that point, but I thought at some point he might break out, but maybe not. So
could just be solid. But what do you think about Addison Russell? Talk about someone who could break out. Are you ready to drop
right?
him?
I know. Talk about someone who's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, that's his talent.
You and Lifshitz have a you guys got it easy with your prospect thing. Once they hit the majors, you're like, you don't have to talk about them ever again. You're like, oh my God, Addison Russell is going to be the greatest player ever, and then he gets called up, and a week later, you never have to mention his name ever again.
You're saying it's too. Although no, people get shit. I mean, Keith Law gets a lot of shit for when he calls guys for leavers.
He should, just for his Matt Wieters nonsense. He should get shit.
Because
he thought Matt Wieters was going to be the next Yogi Berra.
Everyone did. Wieters was like the next big thing.
Right, I know. But no, yeah, I mean, once they're called up, it's like, you know, you would have asked Ralph about Addison Russell 3 years ago. He would have been like, oh my God, Russell. Oh my God, I want Russell. Give me some Russell. And now it's like, you don't have to ask him because he's like onto something. He's on the Gleyber.
No, the move is you just say, yeah, he'll take time, he'll get there.
Yeah.
The move is you say, like, yeah, give patience. You say patience. You make the other person seem like an impatient child.
I'm picking up on you prospect guys. Yeah, I'm picking up on your whole game, you guys. You
got our number?
I got your Gleyber. Addison Russell's really struggled. That is true. Let's see. I don't know. Let's break him down for a second.
Let's see your Russell breakdown.
Yeah, he's been really unlucky.
Okay.
But not like to the point where he should be hitting 213. Then again, he only hit 238 last year, so he's not, and he hit 242 the year before, so you know, 213 to 240 is like the difference of like seven singles. It's not it's like a businessman's lunch at a strip club. It's not it's not a ton different. So he's a 235 hitter with the power. Where's the power? Oh wow, his homers. Looks like his fly balls are about even with where he was last year. Looks like he's not making good contact. Okay, so there. So that looks like the issue. It looks like his contact is way down, and he's swinging at balls outside the plate, outside the zone. So what is going on? Likely is he's just not – actually, he's just not really swinging. Okay. Next time I'll do this before we get on the podcast.
No, I like it. I like it. You just came to the conclusion. Someone's got to tell Russell to swing more.
Yeah, it looks like
no, I like
yeah,
that. I like that yeah. thought process.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it looks like. It looks like he's just not swinging. He looks like he's gotten very timid with his.
I like that thought. Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah,
so right, Russell's got to swing more. If you were on Fangraphs, you could write now like an essay on that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. But here's the ending of every Fangraphs essay. So insert player's name will either get better or he'll stay as bad. Like, oh, okay, thank you. I read 1,700 words for your hedging.
Oh, that's very true. It's very true. All right, let's close out the show. Two older guys who should be coming back from the DL pretty soon. Kinsler tonight, Tuesday, when you're listening to this. Pedroia maybe a little later in the week. Do you believe in either of these older guys to have an impact? Or I mean, Kinsler was, you know, usually a top eight second baseman coming into the year at least. What are you thinking about either of them rest of the season? You like one more than the other?
Nah, I'm kind of over him. I'm a real ageist when it comes to players. And Kinsler's 34. He's got a, you know, he's
hammy
now,
issue,
yeah, he's got a hammy issue, so maybe he won't run. I'm not a huge fan of either of these guys, to be totally honest. I would, you know, if Kinsler came back this week, or like you said, he's supposed to come back this week. So when he comes back, if you're able to sell him even low, I would sell him low and move on. I feel like in most 10 or 12 team mixed leagues, or even maybe in a 15 team, 15 is kind of deep, but 12 in a 12 team mixed league or a 10 team mixed league, you can find Kinsler off of waivers. And then, you know, you sell Kinsler for, say, I don't know, a pitcher whose peripherals look good, but he's struggling, say Samardzija. So you sell Kinsler for Samardzija, and then you pick up someone off of waivers to fill in for Kinsler. So you pick up like Devin Travis or something. I don't think
you can get Samardzija for Kinsler at this point.
Yeah, maybe not, but it depends on what Samardzija does tonight. Him and Miller Park sounds scary as all get out.
Yeah,
so right, I don't know.
Righties and Miller Park are not good. But like, I mean, Samardzija has more strikeouts than Yu Darvish right now. Samardzija's strikeout total, it's the highest on the team I have him. He's the top guy on my team.
Yeah,
I feel like
I'm with you. I like Samardzija a lot. Yeah. I have him in – actually, I think Samardzija and Lackey, unfortunately, are my top guys I own across every – like, you know, because I'm in NL-only leagues.
True.
So I even own them more than Odor. I have Odor only in mixed leagues. But in my NL-only leagues, I have Samardzija and Lackey are – they're kicking ass for me. I'm like doing so well in strikeouts because so I like Samardzija a lot, but I feel like a lot of people, like if you troll, you know, or I guess not troll isn't the word, but if you look through the comments on Razzball, you'll see a lot of people who are kind of like, oh, Samardzija, what can I drop this guy? You know? So, I mean, people are kind of over the whole, oh yeah, his XFIP is so good.
No, I'm over that too. But I just he just leads my team to strikeouts, so it's hard to start to get.
No, I hear you. I like him too. But I don't know. Find someone who I think, you know, maybe Alex Wood is probably no way in hell you're getting Alex Wood because he was doing so well prior to the injury. I was gonna say maybe because of the injury, people were less. Samardzija. I don't know. I'm just saying if someone in your league looks at a 4.6 ERA and is like, I'm trading Samardzija for Kinsler, I would do that in a second, but I don't know. Maybe people wouldn't do it. Maybe you're right. I don't know. It's hard to know what people will do. It's like, it's like a problem I have a lot of times when people in the comments are always like, oh, do you think, you know, someone will do this trade? I'm like, I don't know what someone else thinks of that guy. I mean, maybe. I have no idea if someone else likes Addison Russell. Personally, I like him, you know, to a certain extent, but he's struggling. But I don't know what the other team or the other owner thinks of him, you know. So it's hard. It's hard to know exactly what trades will work. But, yeah, I mean, Kinsler – for anything I would do, like Kinsler for, say, struggling closer. I don't know. Any struggling closers, like maybe
Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, maybe like a Fernando Rodney. Or maybe if someone's like, well, Bedrosia's coming back, he's going to take over for Norris. How about I trade Kinsler for Bedrosia? Like, okay. Yeah, that's a gamble because knowing Socia, maybe he stays with Norris, but it's a gamble worth taking, I think, with Kinsler.
Fair enough. All right, so that wraps up this middle infield edition of the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Thank you, everyone, who rated the show. Thank you to the guys who joined the Fantasy Draft Contest. Gray's not impressed, though, so keep rating and keep joining. I'll be the good cop. I have no problem playing good cop. That's right. I'm Michael Halpern. Gray Albright killed it again this episode. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.